I am deeply grateful for the kindness with which I am treated. Not only here, today, on this, to me, an outstanding occasion, but in the whole discharge of my responsibility. There is no doubt that this consideration shown to their leader by the British people, though far above his deserts, is a very real and practical help in the conduct of the war. It gives me confidence to act and to dare, and that is a draught of life amid many toils and burdens. Of all the wars that we have ever waged in the long continuity of our history, there has never been one which more truly united the entire British nation and British race throughout the world than this present fearful struggle for the freedom and progress of mankind. Alone in history, the British people, taught by the lessons they had learned in the past, have found the means to attach to the motherland vast self-governing dominions upon whom there rests no obligation other than that of sentiment and tradition to plunge into war at the side of the motherland. Yeah. All over the world, friend and foe alike, everyone who had not the eye of faith might well have deemed our speedy ruin was at hand. Against the triumphant might of Hitler, with a greedy Italian at his tail, we stood alone with resources so slender that one shudders to enumerate them even now. Then surely was the moment for the empire to break up, for each of these widely dispersed communities to seek safety on the winning side, for those who thought themselves oppressed to throw off their yoke and make better terms betimes with the all-conquering Nazi and fascist power. There was the time. But what happened? It was proved that the bonds which unite us, though supple as elastic, are stronger than the tensest steel. But now I must speak of the great republic of the United States, whose power arouses no fear and whose preeminence excites no jealousy in British bosoms. Upon the fraternal association and intimate alignment of policy of the United States and the British Commonwealth and Empire depends more than on any other factor the immediate future of the world. If they walk, or if need be march, together in harmony and in accordance with the moral and political conceptions to which the English-speaking peoples have given birth, and which are frequently referred to in the Atlantic Charter, all will be well. If they fall apart and wander astray from the commanding beacon lights of their destiny, there is no end or measure to the miseries and confusion which await modern civilization. It is fitting, my Lord Mayor, in a singular manner, to speak upon this theme of the fraternal association of Britain and the United States here amid the proud monuments and prouder ruins of the City of London. Because nothing ever made a warmer feeling between the British and American people than the unflinching resistance of London to the formidable, prolonged assault of the enemy. The phrase, "London can take it," and the proof of it that was given, stirred every generous heart in the United States. And their illustrious chief, watching the whole scene of the world with eyes of experience and conviction, sustained by the Congress of the United States, came to our aid with the famous Lease-Lend Act in a manner most serviceable to the great causes which were at stake. Of all our institutions, there is none which has served us better in the hour of need than our ancient monarchy. Around which all that we have is centered, and which at the present time is embodied by a king and queen most truly beloved and honored by all their subjects.